Good morning, and welcome to the second annual Fundraising Success Virtual Conference and Expo. I'm Joe Boland, Senior Editor of Fundraising Success Magazine. I'm pleased to welcome you to another great live session designed to help you engage, enlighten, and empower donors, which, as you know, is the theme for today's conference. This session, Mind Your Messaging Mix, sponsored by Xerox, will focus on creating the right messaging mix to keep your donors engaged. But before we get started, there are a few technical pointers I need to share to ensure you get the most out of this session. First, if you have any technical difficulties, troubleshoot by clicking on the Help button at the bottom of the console, or let us know via the Ask a Question box. To get a PDF version of the slide presentation for future reference, click on the Download Slides button on the console. If you'd like to submit a question to our speakers today, you may do so at any point during this presentation by using the Ask a Question box. I'll do my best to get to everybody's questions in the allotted time. If you leave the session at any time or would like to view it again later, you can access the entire presentation from the auditorium in the Fundraising Success Virtual Conference and Expo on-demand environment, which will be open for 3 months beginning on Monday, May 23rd. Finally, if you're on Twitter, we encourage you to tweet about the show today and this session, so please use the hashtag #FSV2011 when doing so. Now, to address the challenge of today's multi-channel communications environment and help you find the right messaging mix, we have Sean Bacher, Associate General Secretary at the General Board of Global Ministries and Director of the Advanced and Development, the United Methodist Church's designated giving channel, as well as Carol Leister, the Fundraising Director at McPherson Associates. And without further ado, here's Carol to kick things off.
Thank you, Joe. As Joe said, this is Carol Leister. I'm the Director of Fundraising at McPherson Associates, a small consulting firm based in Malvern, Pennsylvania. And I'm thrilled to be here to talk with Sean Bacher about a pretty fabulous online engagement that the General Board of Global Ministries did last fall called Tenfold. And I want to kind of jump in with some questions, and this is going to be an informal chat with Sean and I. But please feel free, as you're listening, if any of our conversation brings up any questions, please submit them, and we'll get to as many as we can. Hi, Sean. How are you doing?
Hi, Carol. Doing well. Thank you. I'm excited to be able to be with you all. We see there's over 200 of you listening in. We're grateful for your interest and hope that we can gear our conversation to inspire you to think creatively, but also engage with us and ask us questions.
So, Sean, let's kick it off. Most people aren't familiar with the General Board of Global Ministries. Can you tell us a little bit about the organization?
Yes. The General Board of Global Ministries is the mission sending agency for the United Methodist Church. So what that means is for all of our United Methodist churches here in the United States and across the world, we help to facilitate and coordinate the missional efforts. That's everything from missionaries to mission projects. And we are working currently in 100 different countries. The Advance specifically is the fundraising arm for all of the missional efforts.
And just to be clear for people, you do some pretty specific projects. And just to give one concrete example, I know you're now in Haiti. Can you talk just briefly so people really understand what the Global Ministries does?
Mm-hmm. One example, as Carol mentioned, is one branch of Global Ministries is UMCOR, United Methodist Committee on Relief, and they work with our disaster response. So last year, after the earthquake in Haiti, United Methodists from across the world were interested in several things. One, they wanted to give money. Secondly, they wanted to send teams to go. So Global Ministries and UMCOR, the United Methodist Committee on Relief, would coordinate the efforts, and we would work with our partners on the ground. So we worked with the Methodist Church in Haiti as well as some of our other NGO partners in Haiti to facilitate both our recovery efforts as well as facilitating volunteer teams to go. so that it was all through a coordinated program and it wasn't just individual churches going, making a connection with somebody in Haiti and going and volunteering directly, but it was a part. We helped to coordinate the entire churchwide efforts. So disaster relief and response is one aspect of the work of Global Ministries. And then it's everything from we have hospitals and clinics throughout the world, throughout Africa, Philippines, Latin America. We have programs for children and youth. We have programs, women's empowerment programs. So it's a variety. We also
and let me jump in here, and I'll move us along. Last year, you launched a very unique online engagement event called Tenfold. Can you tell us about it?
Sure. As we mentioned, the work of Global Ministries is so expansive, so we tried to figure out how do we best communicate the work of what we do to a wide audience of 11 million Methodists. And right now you'll see a slide that talks about simplifying a complicated message. So I've already mentioned Global Ministries, which is the parent organization. UMCOR is the relief arm of Global Ministries. The Advance is the fundraising channel. For our United Methodists, they were familiar with various degrees of familiarity with those three terms and with those three brands. The question became, and what we realized on a daily basis, while those names are important to us, to the donors and to our United Methodist constituents, they don't necessarily care. They just want to know, is work being done, where is it being done, and what's the need? So we tried to simplify that complicated message of who's doing what by Tenfold. For Tenfold, we selected 10 projects which spanned a variety of the work we do. And for 10 days, we focused on one of those specific projects, trying to make the projects real to our donors also finding, trying to find ways to use technology to connect donors and just our United Methodist with the work that's happening throughout the world. So those 10 projects, each day we did online activities. It was everything from we had three live webcasts every day. Our first day was Haiti. So knowing that that was was and still is an important issue for so many people, we used one of our days to talk about what is the work that UMCOR is doing in Haiti. But the three live events allowed people to engage with some of our staff in Haiti, with volunteers who had already gone. It also engaged with youth groups here in the United States who were assembling kits that to be sent to Haiti. So tried to find a way of how can we engage people at whatever level they are, if they're wanting to go volunteer, if they're wanting to send money, if they've already sent money but they want to know how is their money being used, or if they have questions, how can they get the answers they want, or how can they get more information? So we had three live events in which we had various people or groups on the computer. People signed in. They could ask questions and chat with the presenter. In addition, we had pre-recorded videos that were everything from three-minute videos to longer, you know, up to 20, 30-minute pre-recorded pieces that allowed people to get more information or hear the specific stories. And those were things that we had pre-recorded and loaded for people that they could just download off of the Tenfold website.
I have a quick question, just a little clarification from the audience. For these 10 projects, was it 10 days for each of the projects or one day per project?
Thank you. It's actually the whole campaign was 10 days, so we focused on a different project every day. So October 10th was, like I mentioned, Haiti, and we tried to play off the theme of 10, so it actually took place on October 10th of 2010. And then a lot of our work, even in the promotion and the putting together of the event, was focused on the number 10. You'll see now a slide that shows a picture of the website. Now, remember, this whole event was web-based. We engaged, we allowed people to sign on to the website, and every day it would change. So if they signed on October 10th, they would have information on Haiti. There would be the live webcast on Haiti. On October 11th, which was really our day two, we focused on children. And so we talked about the work that we're doing with children all across the world. And then it also wasn't just a chance for us to talk, but it was a chance for our partners or people all around the world to be able to share their stories, to give us a glimpse of what it was like, what their work is like, for us to ask them questions. Another important component of Tenfold is the sponsors. And I'm not sure if you can see on the slide, but if you, under Haiti Recovery, it says the sponsor for that day. We arranged for each day to have a sponsor, and that sponsor committed $10,000, up to $10,000, I should say, and they committed to give us $1 for every advocate that we received. And to be an advocate, we asked for your email address. So also at the very top of the slide, which it may be hard to see, there's a box for you to put your email in for you to be counted. And our hope was to get 10,000 advocates for each day, with the advocate or the person coming to the website knowing that if they gave us their email address and clicked be counted, they would then be generating a dollar to go to Haiti Recovery. Which that was an important aspect for us on several levels. One, it was an incentive for people to come to the website, so that just by coming to the website, a dollar was donated. It was also an incentive for people to tell their friends to go to the website, because it would be yet another dollar, because it would be a different email address. And thirdly, it was a great way for us to build our base of advocates and for our base of prospective donors, because we now had collected people's email address. There were, like I said, multiple components to the actual day. One primary purpose was education about what the church is doing in these 10 different areas. Secondly, the purpose was to collect individual names and email addresses, and we were able to tie that to the specific day. So we then had a chance to find out, here we have a list of 5,000 email addresses of people who expressed some sort of interest in Haiti. So after Tenfold, we could target specific marketing efforts toward a group of people. In the past, we would do just broad sweeping marketing that would kind of try to tell our audience everything about what Global Ministries does. This enabled us to begin to customize the message. If we know someone was interested in disaster recovery and they signed up for Haiti, there's a good chance that they may want to know, what are we doing in Japan, or what are we now doing about all of the domestic disasters and the flooding. So it helped us to build our database that way.
Sean, a unique thing about Global Ministries, and you mentioned this, is this was information gathering about your constituents. You have a very large constituent base, but you actually don't have these names and addresses or email addresses of these people. So you had to reach out in many, many different ways to attract people online to this event. I'm submitting the next slide. Can you talk about the many ways you reached out to drive people to come to Tenfold?
Great, sure. As Carol said, in the past, people would give to the work of Global Ministries through their local church. We would only know that it was the church that was interested in Haiti, for example, or the church that was interested in starting new churches across the world. So Tenfold enabled us to connect with the individuals in the congregation to find out who in that church is interested in a particular message. So before October 10th, so before the campaign started, we reached out via email. Also, the Methodist Church has an annual meeting, and so we, at the annual meetings that met geographically, we put information out to all of those people, essentially a save the date kind of message. And then a lot of the message, we were surprised, actually took a lot of the spreading the message took place as the campaign had started. About 40% of our traffic came from Facebook, and so that was at the time of the event. It was someone posting on Facebook, go to tenfold.org, a dollar will be donated to Haiti recovery if it was the first day. And so despite the fact that we had by direct mail, by email, and through various speaking opportunities, we had been promoting Tenfold, so much of the traffic and the attention came in the midst of the campaign because it became a viral event, meaning someone would put it on Facebook, which would allow us to reach an entire audience maybe that we didn't have access to because their Facebook friends then said, oh, well, I can go click to be an advocate and have a dollar donated. So it enabled us to just expand our audience to people that we would have never ever reached by just trying to send material to those who were sitting in the pews.
And the other thing that we worked together to do was look at different constituencies that you work with within the United Methodist Church. Can you talk about the different levels of people that we talk to and the different messages?
Sure. Within the Methodist Church, we're organized regionally. So we went to the each regional body and asked the bishops to share a message. We customized email messages just for bishops saying, will you share this with your the members in your annual conference? We also customized messages for the conference communicators in such a way where we would have a crafted message. All they would have to do is add that to their website. We had banner ads where they could post that small banner ad on their web page, which would link people directly to our Tenfold site. And if people went prior to October 10th, the site was available for them to sign up to get updates. So if we got the, if we collected their email address ahead of time, every couple weeks leading up to October 10th, we would send them a reminder email, in some cases a teaser email, revealing more and more information. We didn't reveal the 10 days far in advance, so it was almost something that we held kind of in anticipation of what are the 10 topics going to be. And as we got about a month out of the campaign, we revealed what those 10 were to those who had given us their email address ahead of time and said, yes, keep us informed. So that was, we would customize our message for the individual participants based on what their, who their audience was, but also we wanted to make it easy for them. So like I said, it could be that we had a banner ad, we created content that they could put in a newsletter. So they really became our voice to their own audiences.
And one result that you already said was you created a list, an email list of donors and prospects who are interested in the work of Global Ministries. How are you keeping this group of people engaged after the 10-day event was over?
Great. So we collected just under 9,000 email addresses. And so these were new prospects for us. right after the campaign, we sent out an email and asked people to give us their mailing address, and promised that if they would give us their mailing address, we would send them a calendar. So we created a calendar for 2011 that each month highlighted a different one of the different days of Tenfold. What that enabled us to do was not go beyond just the email correspondence, because up until this point we had 9,000 email addresses, but not necessarily we weren't able to communicate with the donors other than email. So of that 9,000, 7,000 of those gave us their mailing address, which we were really pleased with that high turnout. But a lot of that was probably because we promised a calendar. So people didn't just want to give us their email address, but they wanted us to send them the calendar. So that with the calendar, we did a solicitation mailing. And 11% of the people who received the mailing did respond with sending us a gift. That was our first official financial ask, although if you remember from the website slide, there was a donate button, so people were able to donate throughout the campaign, and people did donate, you know, just beyond the dollar that was donated on their behalf. So that started our initial relationship with these prospects or people who were interested in learning more about the work at Global Ministries. We started it with the calendar mailing. And then what we're doing through 2011, because we are planning to do Tenfold again, obviously we only have one shot at October 10, 2010, but we're going to keep with the 10-10 but do it 10-10-11. Instead of moving us, you know, people suggested, well, you could do November 11th, 2011. But the challenge there, the timing of October worked out really well for us, even with the getting a fundraising appeal for the year end. And we also will have more than a life of 3 years out of the campaign. It will be beyond just 10-10, 11-11, and 12-12. So we decided to keep it at October 10th. And then what we're doing through the year of 2011 is the 10th of every month, we are doing an update on each of the 10 projects. We're combining actually two of the projects in one, so it will be January through September of this year. On the 10th of the month, you can go back to the Tenfold website, and we'll have updated resources for each of the projects, as well as we'll have another new video that will allow people to engage in a live chat. As just a follow-up to say, you were interested in this last year, here's some more information, or going back to the Haiti example, again, here is a year later. Here's what's happening. Here are some of the continued challenges. Here's a chance for you to ask your questions. So it's a very minor version of the 10-day campaign, but we're wanting to keep Tenfold in front of people as we're moving into getting ready for October of this year by just that one day a month event to enable people to continue to engage and continue to learn more. In addition, to the monthly educational events, we have done one other solicitation in the spring, so sent out one other physical mailing to all of those 7,000 people who gave us their mailing address.
One of the things that, you know, we're in the planning stages now for Tenfold in 2011. Can you talk about, based on what we've learned in 2010, what's changing? Because there are some things that are changing.
We learned so much, and I would say one of my favorite aspects of the online campaign was the fact that we were able to get the results immediately. We knew the effect of our work. We knew how many people logged on. We knew what time they logged on. We knew what part of the country they logged on from. So we could see, oh, our promotional efforts, let's say in Texas, went very well because we had a huge audience from Texas. Or we learned that 9 a.m. in the morning is the time that most people are checking their email, and our advocate numbers, the number of people logging onto the site to be counted, just jumped tremendously right in the 9 o'clock hour. So, like I said, I think one of the favorite aspects of the online campaign was just our ability to have analytics. And oftentimes when we have done any other kind of direct mail campaign, or if you put an ad in a magazine or you send out a brochure or you create a brochure, it's hard to know the effect. It's hard to know who saw the brochure. It's hard to know if they took action. And for us, everything, because it was electronic, we were able to measure. Part of that also helped us to shape what we're going to do different this year. What we found is we had some long segments of videos. Even the live events were usually 45 minutes to an hour. And we found, just in looking at the time people spent on the site, that people were really interested in coming, seeing what it was about, getting some basic information, maybe watching for a few minutes, and then moving on. What we decided this year is we want to do much smaller clips, and I think in some ways that's also the YouTube influence, is that people are used to having, give me just a 90-second clip and maybe I'll go and look to another video, but I don't necessarily want to sit at my computer for 45 minutes and watch something. It's not like a television show in terms of most people are at work and so don't necessarily have the time to just sit and absorb our message for 30 or 45 minutes. So we're definitely shortening the amount of our videos, maybe doing more videos, but just a much smaller time period. So it's really the 2-minute kind of quick get the message out. And then allowing people, the chat feature seemed to be a really popular aspect, so continuing to allow people to chat with either staff or with project participants or project sponsors. So that's one thing. One other aspect that we're looking to get more is get our sponsors more involved. As I mentioned earlier, each day had a $10,000 sponsor. In some cases, it was a church. In some cases, it was an entire annual conference. And what we're wanting them to help us do is help us to promote the event to their own audience, whether that be their own church or whether that be the churches in their area, their individual congregation members. But we're also looking to highlight the sponsor's interest in the work. So, for example, this year we're one of the sponsors is our Mississippi Annual Conference for the Domestic Disaster Day, and they're wanting to sponsor because they've been the recipient of so many volunteers and so much money through the United Methodist Church. They want to give back. So we're looking to tell the sponsor story as a part of Tenfold, so other people can see. It's not just telling the global ministry story, but it's allowing people to see this is where we can engage, or we could do something similar. Our church could get involved, or our church could raise money, or our conference, or our Sunday school class, to use use the actual video clips to show highlights of what our sponsors have done or what other churches have done. So it gives people examples and ideas of things they can do themselves.
The one thing, you know, that comes up in your conversation is Tenfold in 2010 were three live events a day. And in 2011, you're going to go more to video pre-taped clips. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So in last year, we had three, as Carol said, three live events. So that meant we could go to the Congo and talk with a doctor who's working at a clinic in the Congo. We went to Ghana and talked with an agriculturalist who is doing sustainable agriculture. The challenge we found is those were all live events, and when we were working in some of these more remote areas and areas that didn't have reliable internet, it made it very stressful and sometimes very difficult to have a live webcast from these areas. A big learning. And also we found that if we have the people available on chat, they don't necessarily need to be live. So it was more for us, how can we make it easier on us, but also how can we make the message. We could also, if it was pre-recorded, we could do some editing, which will enable us to keep the segment shorter. Instead of a 45-minute segment, we'll be able to have shorter, more concise segments this year without the concern of, is the internet going to be down in Haiti the day we're working or the day we're planning to broadcast live from there. So that's a definite change for this year is the live events that we do will be more in-house, meaning things that we're able to do here at our own offices. We'll bring people here because we'll have more control over it. But everything else will be pre-recorded, but we'll have the participants, whether, like I said, if it's we want to talk to a doctor who's in Kenya, we'll have the doctor available for a live chat so people can still have the interaction, but we're not dependent on the technology to work for us at that moment.
One thing about Tenfold, which has been really wonderful to work with, is it's been working with all kinds of new technologies and new ways of connecting with people. This year, you're experimenting with text messaging and adding that into the mix. And I know there's a session coming up probably in a half an hour about mobile. Can you talk about how you're looking at mobile and text messaging?
Sure. We entered into a contract with a company to do text messaging, and right now we haven't done the text to give, and so it's just for information. So we have also this year started to collect phone numbers, and every month before the 10th of the month, so before the event that takes place every month, we send a brief text message, and that then allows people it's a brief reminder for them so that they can go and log on and share it with their friends as well. We also are exploring the text to give. We haven't fully signed on to that yet, but we're exploring if we should add the $10 donation, again, fitting with the theme of the 10. And so right now, though, we're just using it for advocacy and to get information out there. Thinking we're not wanting to bombard people with so many texts that they would unsubscribe, but just giving them texts as alerts to tune in now, go to Tenfold, or even in terms of some of these disasters, now that we know we have an audience of people who are interested in disaster recovery. We are thinking, as with all these disasters that we've experienced domestically recently, we could say, send a text out to say, see what UMCOR is doing. Visit either tenfold.org or visit UMCOR.org to see UMCOR's response to the flooding in the South or whatever specific situation that may be.
And almost the last question before we go to questions and answers is, as I sit and listen to you, Sean, it sounds like you have a huge team of people doing this. And I actually know the reality last year of the team of people. Can you give people out there who are listening words of advice if they wanted to hold an online event? Because, this is very scalable. And talk about the team, who worked on it. How many staff members actually kind of worked on this?
Mm-hmm. It's a great
And I know one of them is listening.
We have We had our marketing director who helped to really kind of coordinate the entire campaign, and then myself more from the fundraising perspective, making sure that kind of with each step we were looking at how would we convert these prospects to donors. And then, as you mentioned, we, Carol, you have been very involved as our consultant to help us even in talking about best practices as we're looking to do this online event. And we would then pull in staff for help with some minor aspects, whether that be editing content or copy. Another big player in this was the company we contracted to build the website. Because it was all an online event, we produced very few brochures or flyers. We really focused a lot on having a robust website. And so that was a key investment, but even not as significant as one would think in terms of when you compare it to kind of what you may spend on a print brochure. We really feel like we got a lot of return on our investment for the actual website and being able to communicate that information that way. So we this year we've added one person to the team that she's worked with us a lot last year, but her efforts are really focusing on the promotion and helping us to create the messages for the specific audiences, identify those specific audiences ahead of time to say, how are we going to get the information out there? How are we going to let people know to save the date? So we have that person who is helping us really with the marketing ahead of time. So it's
a pretty lean and mean team.
It was actually, yeah. I wouldn't necessarily recommend it being so lean because it was a lot of work for really the handful of us that were working on it. However, again, the amount of people we were able to reach from an online campaign, and then I think a key success was we had – it was our advocates that helped us do the marketing. You know, if it was only up to us, there's no way we would have reached those 9,000 advocates. But we had people who were invested or who were interested in the topic or the content, and they would tell their friends about it. So we pushed a lot of information to be tell your friends.
And is there any advice you'd give to an organization who, you know, would want to undertake, you know, maybe not 10 days, but a day event, an online, you know, event like this?
In some ways, for those of you who are participating even in this day-long web conference, I think it's really showing the impact that an online event can do of bringing people together from so many different backgrounds. I would definitely say you'd want to limit the time. We have ours is 10 days, and it does get to be a very long 10 days for us as staff, and so would recommend there to be some kind of limit to whether it's a three-hour period, whether it's a one-day period, and then think about your audience. For us, we had to adjust as we went. You know, like I mentioned earlier, we found that the audience was on, and again, we had an audience that spanned quite a few different time zones, but we found 9 a.m. Eastern was kind of the time that a lot of people logged on. So if you could do some research ahead of time to figure out, are you looking to have an event during the middle of the day? Is after work hours better? Is because it was 10 days, last year it went over two Sundays. We thought maybe we'd have greater interest on Sunday just because of the faith-based nature of it. We found actually Sundays was not was one of our lower attendance days. So just giving thought to who is your audience and what makes the most sense as far as when would they be available, interested in participating.
Joe, can I turn it over to you? Are there any questions that people want to know based on this conversation?
Sure. We definitely have some questions from the audience. We'll get to as many of those as we can here. We have about 5 minutes left. One of the questions that kind of related to a smaller organization, if you don't really have a large fundraising budget, does something like this bring in enough money to make it worthwhile for them?
We have done on a smaller scale just some Skype events where we've been able to broadcast to a targeted audience. It could be that we're doing a brown bag lunch on a particular topic, and we then will do a webcast of that. So we have had pretty significant success in not just a all-day, 10-day kind of campaign, but we want to do a 45-minute webcast. And it would be something I would recommend for the smaller organizations to look to do something. Is there an event? Could you highlight the work, whether it's your clients that you serve? Could you bring them on for a panel discussion in terms of broadcasting a webcast of just a limited amount of time? That wouldn't require, the building of a whole new website to do that. But again, it's looking at who is your audience, who are you trying to reach, and would a online event be something that they're interested in? If you're a local, it could be it's better to have them come to your specific organization. But for us, because we have our audience that's definitely across the U.S. and also across the world, online is definitely the most affordable way for us to do that.
And another way to look at it is, Sean was looking to generate prospects. This is a great way to report back to donors and major donors if your donors are geographically dispersed, so that, if you have major donors and you want to talk about, what you're accomplishing, what your goals are, an online event, for an hour or a discussion, with the key players in the organization, is a great way and an easier way to do it than trying to organize a live, actual, physical event. And then kind of the cost of it changes, the economics change because you're serving your major donors.
And I know throughout you also discussed that you tracked a lot of the analytics, and that was really helpful. Did you find out what drove the most traffic to the site for the live events?
Facebook was the place where we had the highest percentage of people that came to us directly from Facebook. So it was not even our direct promotional events, but it was the individuals putting it on Facebook, which was something we were thrilled about, but also something we didn't necessarily anticipate that it would be so high from Facebook.
And what were your expectations going in? What did you think would drive the most?
We were thinking it would have been our communication ahead of time. So whether it was the conferences or emails that we sent out, but because it was a very much a campaign that you needed to participate in the day and in the moment, it was more important that people were reminded of it on Facebook, and if they're already on their computer, they could just click. Whereas if we had told them about it, 2 months ago, they'd have to write it in their calendar and remember to go log on. If they're on Facebook, they're already on the computer. And so it just made a natural connection for them to be able to click the link and be able to get some more information about it.
And in all the communications that Sean sent out, all the email communications, we were constantly telling people to friend the event on Facebook and connect to Facebook. So, Facebook was key during the event. It was also talked about before the event.
Mm-hmm. I know that there are a lot of questions that we haven't gotten to. This is Sean, and I would be willing, if there's some specific questions, the slide that you see now has both Carol and my email address. If you would, if we didn't get to your question because we're running out of time, feel free to email either one of us, and we'd be happy to respond to you individually.
Okay, and yeah, we're just about out of time here. So first of all, I'd like to thank everybody for attending, and on behalf of Fundraising Success Magazine and Xerox, I want to thank you for attending this virtual conference and expo session. If you're interested in discussing anything that you heard during the presentation this morning, we encourage you to visit the Networking Lounge, chat live with other session attendees, and of course, feel free to email Sean and Carol. And please also check out the agenda for the rest of the day today. We have several wonderful sessions lined up, and encourage you to view as many as you can. And remember, if you can't watch them live, add them to your briefcase and view at your convenience in the on-demand environment, which will be available on Monday. Have a great day, everyone. And again, thank you all. Thanks, Sean and Carol. And hope you enjoy the rest of the day.